This is Leanne.
And this is Mandy.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right, so tonight I am going to tell the story of the disappearance of Jody Huizentrout.
Oh, God. What a name.
I know. Okay. Do you know who that is?
Uh-uh.
You literally sent me a Facebook message and said, where is she?
Oh, yeah, the news reporter.
The news anchor.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is one of the very first, probably, true crime things I ever watched, like years and years ago. And so I've seen lots of stuff on Jody, and actually it's been 27 years since she disappeared, and still they have not found her.
They have not found her. Okay, I just want to tell listeners that you may hear a dog snoring in the background. We have Peanut as our special guest tonight because we're recording in my closet because we didn't go to our little studio. And he refuses to let me put him out of the room.
He's making some weird little noises.
Yeah, so he's snoring, and so if you hear that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to say, let everybody know it's Peanut. He's going to be the background music tonight. And this is episode 21.
Yes, episode 21.
Right.
The mysterious disappearance of Jody Huizentrout.
I'm proud of you for that.
Okay, thanks. All right, so Jody was a 27-year-old anchor in Mason City, Iowa, which sounds like somewhere that nothing bad happens, and typically no, like it's super low crime rate. People did not lock their doors. I mean, it was very family, hometown, but she was a news anchor at KIM TV. She did the 6 o'clock news, 6 o'clock a.m. news. And on June the 27th, 1995, she was super cute. She had blonde hair. She was real bubbly, was always very upbeat. Everybody had great things to say about her. She loved her life and really had not a lot of drama. I guess being in the public eye, though, like she was a pretty popular news anchor, and probably because she was good at her job, but she was also fun to watch and she was attractive, you know, all those kind of things. I think she was pretty popular.
Locally.
Yeah, for sure. I think she had tried to, but she was actually talking like a headhunter at some point, trying to get bigger. Obviously, most people who are in the news do want to move on to bigger markets and that kind of stuff. But she was super popular in Mason City, Iowa, for sure. On June 27th, that morning, she was supposed to be at the newsroom at 3:30 that morning. She got there really early to get hair and makeup for her cigar segments ready and all that. So her producer at the time, her name was Amy Koontz, and it wasn't unusual sometimes for Jody to oversleep. And they both would do it, actually. They had a little deal where they would call each other and wake each other up if somebody wasn't there on time. So
we would need that deal if we had
we'd definitely need that deal.
At 3:30. Yeah.
So around 4 o'clock that morning, Jody had not shown up for work yet. So Amy calls her house and she answered the phone, obviously groggy or whatever. And she's like, hey, you know, it's 4 o'clock. And Jody's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm just going to jump in the shower real quick and I'll be right there. And she said it wasn't unusual for that. You know, she would show up with all of her stuff in the bag, her hair wet and her makeup, and do all that when she got to the studio. So that was the last she heard from her. And then, so, you know, time goes by and Jody's not there. I think she said around 4:30, she called back to Jody's house and Jody did not answer. And I'm guessing she didn't have a cell phone. They never mentioned any cell phone. When she called and there was no answer. So she thought, you know, she must just be either in the shower or on the way. But in the meantime, Amy had to get ready for the 6 o'clock news. So what she had to do was she had to just scramble to get all the stuff ready to go and then actually had to go on the air. It's very unusual for an anchor to miss their shift. Like Jody might have been late for work sometimes, but she never would miss her shift. But Amy was so busy getting things together, she couldn't really think about that. So she gets the segment together. She gets all the stuff ready. And at 6 o'clock, she goes on the news and she actually does the 6 o'clock news that morning. So when she's done about 7, and then she realizes, you know, she's asking, they're like, no, Jody never showed up. Well, she gets a little panicky. And I don't know that she called the police, but somebody from the news station called the police and said, hey, we need you to go check on our coworker. She never showed up for work this morning. We spoke to her at this time, but she never made it. So about 7:15, the police actually showed up to Jody's apartment. I think it was called the Keys Apartments there. They get there, her car's in the parking lot. She drove a Mazda Miata. They get there, car's in the parking lot, and all of her things are scattered. beside her car, like her purse, things from her purse, her hairbrush, her hair dryer, her heels, everything. Like she had everything she was grabbing to take to work. And then something happened. The key to her car, key fobs.
Yeah.
The key to her car was bent.
Clicker. Or...
as if she had been trying to get in the car and something happened. So there was no blood, no nothing, but there was also no Jody, but except for her thing. So they, you know, processed the scene. There was really no DNA, no real evidence of anything that happened, except they did say there were some drag marks as if she had been, you know, taken away, but really nothing else. The only thing they found at the scene was basically, I think when they processed it, they found palm print on the outside of the car. So they obviously took that, but that could really be from anybody.
Yeah.
You know, somebody could walk by your car in Walmart and put their palm on your car. So they didn't know if that was going to have any relevance at the time or not, but they still took it. So the girl, Amy Kuntz, said in her, in some of her interviews, said, you know, when she got done the news that morning, she was like, I thought maybe she had fallen in the shower, maybe had fallen back asleep and didn't hear the phone when I called back again, whatever. She said, but abduction was never in the cards. Like, it never even occurred to her. So the police show up, they process the scene. There's really no evidence that, or nothing that they can find out, or even this, you know, nothing to go on.
Yeah.
So the neighbors didn't call the police. No, nothing. I think one neighbor may have said they heard a scream.
I was like, police. A scream you had to have heard.
Something. Yeah, they may have heard a scream, but nobody really said they saw anything. One neighbor did say they saw a white van in the area, but there was nothing to really corroborate that at all. So obviously they start with people who are closest to her. So the Mazda Miata that she had was given to her by a guy that she had been dating. Okay. Nice boyfriend. Not that I want a Mazda Miata, but I wouldn't mind a car.
95 maybe, but
yeah. 95 maybe. He owned a sock factory. Well, it's really kind of odd. But anyway, she'd been seeing him a little bit, but she was also seeing this other guy whose name was John Van Sant. I can't say it. That's terrible, isn't it? We're so terrible now. John Van Sice.
Okay.
She'd been seeing him for a little while. I don't know really how serious they were, but the morning that, and the reason I'm talking about him is because they really sort of focused on him. There's a lot that pointed to him. So they kind of looked at thinking if there were any stalkers. There was really no evidence of any stalkers, even though her life was really very public. Like, apparently she talked a lot about her social life on air, things that she was going to do. But in 1995... I mean, weren't we talking to a guy who called your phone?
Yeah.
Around that time? I mean, so she didn't really know that. And her, like, her phone number was listed in the phone book, along with her name and her apartment number.
Yeah, because that's how they did it.
Yeah,
in
the phone book. Yeah.
Just like children's.
But there was really nothing too creepy about what anybody that was, like, really stalking. There were no letters, no anything like that. But this John Van Sice guy, she'd been seeing him for a little while and had actually been with him the night before she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So once the police go and investigate and they go back and talk to Amy Kuntz, who was her producer at the time, she told them that, oddly enough, that John had called the station that morning before she went on the air and asked if Jody was there. And she was like, no. And he was like, well, why not? And she's like, I don't know. She's just not here yet. And she said he had never, ever called the station before that morning. And I know that police did question him.
Unless he just had like a bad dream or a weird dream or a bad feeling, you know, that is
kind of. Well, so it turns out that later, so he shows up at the crime scene actually later that morning with another guy, like when the police were there. And then they questioned him. He said he had an alibi. And he said he had seen her the night before, that she came by his house to watch a video of her surprise party that he threw for her.
Okay.
And then that she went home. But when you think about it, somebody, whoever was there, had to have known her schedule. Like, it couldn't have been, it's very.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had to know she was going to be out in the parking lot for a minute for it.
Somebody had to know that she was going to be coming out of
the door
somewhere around that time. It's not like she's a regular 8 to 5.
I doubt it was an opportunity to attack.
So they did.
Like an opportunity, like a random.
Yeah, just a random walking in the parking lot and here she comes out the door. It sounds like it was somebody. And so I guess, so from what everybody, all the reports, she sort of did not feel the same about this John Van Sice that he felt about her. And then the sock factory guy gave her the car. And it was two different, all at the same time. So I think things were happening.
Maybe they were jealous of each other, of the two guys.
Yeah, and they questioned the guy, and I could never find his name, but they did question him.
If they had anything to do with it, there could be some kind of motive there with the jealousy, you know, if I can't have you, no one can kind of thing.
Yes. And so,
and it definitely seemed like an attack because why would the key be bent and all her stuff be everywhere? Like almost like they literally like forced, like jumped her or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because why, that would explain the key being bent and the, and then drug her away.
She actually had spent the weekend before with the John Van Sice on a water skiing trip.
The guy that threw the party or the sock guy? Okay.
Yes. The one, that's the guy who called the station that morning and all that stuff. So yes. She spent the weekend with him and some other friends, like, the weekend before, like, water skiing. And I don't know, maybe something happened that weekend that maybe she was, like...
turned off and, like...
Yeah, like, this is... it. Or maybe said, this is not really, you know, what's going to work for me.
Yeah, and if she just went by and watched the video, it was like he was trying to get her to come over.
Yeah, I listened to one of the podcasts, and I guess they must have seen the video. I couldn't find the video, but it was actually on Up and Vanished, who I love with Payne Lindsay, because I love his voice. And he said, they said something about the way he was dancing with some other girls at the party on the video. He was like, I would never have dated him.
Oh.
And they totally paid this. I mean.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
What season is this? Sorry, I didn't. I mean, I thought he did seasons. Does he do different?
So he has a thing that's like.
I thought he did Up and Vanished.
So
like about
Up and Vanished was on Oxygen, like a show.
Okay.
At one point. So they also had the podcast,
too. So like he talked on the show.
Like, yeah, he talked on that.
Because I've listened to the podcast,
too.
Podcast.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a, that's like a different, like a spinoff.
Okay.
It's still Up and Vanished, but it's done by Oxygen, not by Tenderfoot TV, I think, or whatever that is.
I just,
but anyway.
I do like his.
He was like, I would have never dated him if he was doing all that.
Were they like, you know, was he like dirty dancing with people or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
That, that's the way it sounded.
But did he want her to be like jealous? Maybe he was like, I want her to come over
and
see me dance with, dirty dance with a girlfriend. Maybe she'll want me then.
I don't know. But he, they could never find any evidence that conclusively linked him to her disappearance.
Yeah, well, they can't find her, right?
Yeah. So there was a girl named LaDonna that was a friend of this John Van Sice, and she came forward to the police and said, I have an alibi for him. Like, he called me that morning at whatever time. She made all this up, as far as I'm concerned.
Like, 5 a.m. after he had done it all.
Made up time, and then we went on a walk together. Like, we always walk together. And then she said that he told her that a friend of his called him and said something about Jody missing. And that's when he called the station and said, is Jody there? And so then he told
that's very odd.
But then he tells the
nobody police, even knew she was really missing yet.
Not the police. He told LaDonna was like, well, he had another girlfriend anyway. And they were like, oh, really? Who's this other girlfriend? And she was like, I don't know. He said her name was Joni. What?
That's what the girl said?
Uh-huh. Have you ever met Joni? Nobody's ever met Joni. There is no, I mean, it's all very odd.
But she was talking about Jody, right?
No, he said that he told her that he had a whole other girlfriend away from Jody. Jody was not even a big concern of his. I mean, not, I mean,
of her.
He was, well, of his. Like, he was like, whatever. Oh, she comes or goes, he didn't really care because he has a whole other girl he was focused on named Joni.
Yeah. Okay. So he had a whole other girlfriend.
So he says. Apparently. But I mean,
maybe he's just trying to make himself look really good.
I'm like, with Payne Lindsay. Said. I'm with Payne Lindsay. There's no Joni. I mean, I think he just made that up to cover his butt. But there was nothing for the police to go on to link him. I mean, he'd have a white van, which one of the neighbors said they saw a white van in the area. There was absolutely nothing to link him. So in the meantime, he moves to like Arkansas or, you know, somewhere else far away. And then that was just kind of it. Now, after that, nothing really happened. I mean, it just kind of went cold. And then in 2008, so randomly, the Globe Gazette in Mason City gets one of the reporters there gets a package, and it is a copy of 84 pages of Jody's personal journal. They're like, what? Like her diary. They're like, how did this even happen? Like, how does this get away? Like, obviously the police must have had it, but how does it get there? So it's this big, like, what's going on? What is happening? And then they finally track it down. And so the former chief of police in Mason City David Ellingson. So he retired. I think he may have just quit. But turns out that he said, oh, I think I just grabbed it on accident when I moved out. Like when I packed myself up and left. Mm-hmm. And then for whatever weird reason, his wife, Cheryl, who worked for the newspaper at one time, made copies and mailed it to the newspaper. There was no motive for that. Nobody knew why she did that. She just did. But it was this big, whole big thing. And all of a sudden they find out it was just for no reason whatsoever.
I think that's odd. That doesn't really add up.
It is odd. Like, several odd things have happened since.
Like, maybe she did have a reason for sending it because she thought there was some kind of.
But there was really nothing in it, they said. All of
so
it was nothing like
they could get
motivational
from it.
Stuff, you know, just her happy stuff. Yeah. And then, so.
Telling you juicy stuff.
No, no juicy stuff at all. So then, so two federal grand juries have been convened in connection with her case, okay, since then. But no indictments have been handed down. And this has all been connected with this John Van Sistella.
Okay.
So, but nothing, like most of it has been sealed, so you don't know what was in them, but it was never enough for them to say, okay, yeah, go arrest him. But they've tried time and time again. And the last time they tried, it was this dadgum LaDonna who testified that he was home at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That doesn't matter. That was 2 hours had gone by.
Yeah, she testified that he was home at 6 o'clock in the morning and they went for a walk in the neighborhood. Well, big woo, LaDonna. And then in 2017, he was subpoenaed, Van Sice was subpoenaed by a federal grand jury in Cedar Rapids. And he drove, he lives in Arizona, and he drove and he gave a DNA sample, fingerprints, and his palm prints, but still no charges were brought against him. So they must have, I just feel like they must have something. There's some reason why they continue to focus.
They don't tell everything. And they also know there was a two-hour window where he could have done something. And obviously, I mean, I don't know if he could have buried the body, but could have dumped her in a river or something.
I have a pretty good feeling LaDonna never saw John that morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to say, I don't know what LaDonna, what LaDonna's all about.
And she doesn't want to say she like lied
for him. She doesn't want to. She's not with him now.
Yeah, he probably has bamboozled her in some way. I don't know.
Well, now she's scared to say she lied because that's like she could get in trouble for that, you know?
They also got a search warrant for him to place a GPS tracking device. Was it two vehicles that were connected to him?
Trying to see if they'll lead him to the body.
Yes. But they said they didn't produce any evidence or anything. So there's really not a lot to go on. There is a podcast out there called Find Jody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, I don't know, over 40 episodes of it.
Wow.
I tried to listen to some of it, but it's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a whole lot of good, helpful information. So I feel like most of this focuses on this Van Sice fella. I know on the Up and Vanish, I think that they went to him and the guy, he's married now, and he just like yelled at them to leave me alone, get out of my house, get off my property or whatever. He wanted nothing. He didn't want to even talk about it, to even try and.
Well, he has been the main
clear his name
or the main, you know, focus of as a suspect. The main, I mean, not that I think, I definitely think that, what do they say? It's like, 80% of those kind of crimes is done by someone you know.
Right.
So,
and they look at, like, there was, like, a serial rapist that was in the area. His name was Tony Jackson. He lived, like, two blocks from the TV station at the time she disappeared. There was one other sex offender in the area, too, but they couldn't find anything to connect them. And really, it would be super random.
Was her apartment close to the TV station?
Yeah, it was not far from it at all. But it would be kind of random that this... They're both in prison now, the sex offender and...
For other things. Yeah.
For other things. But it would be sort of random they would know. Because first of all, if they were banking on her schedule... Well, she was behind schedule that morning.
Yeah.
She was running late. So somebody knew to wait. You know, that she would be going soon in a minute. It just doesn't seem like there would be...
But you know, if that guy called the station was like, why is she not there? And...
Yeah.
It's like, but why did he say why? Like, I could see
him. He said because a friend of his told him.
Oh, yeah.
So.
How would anybody know
that's
that?
That's what he told LaDonna.
Well, unless.
LaDonna and we're like, how do you know that, LaDonna?
Unless they're talking about it at the station and then somebody tells somebody.
There are two people at the station.
Well, that's definitely
just
not.
Just Amy and like the master engineer person.
Well, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why they were focusing on him, because they knew he couldn't have known. And this is what we talked about. Nobody, no crime kind of thing. Or nobody, no conviction. I mean, it is, they don't want to take him to trial for something that they don't have just to, you know, they can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt, and then they lose it.
I know, but what do you have to even get three grand juries to convene? They must.
And
have,
what do you have after 27 years to lose?
Missing piece.
I guess you do have something to lose because you want to get it right. And no matter if it's been 27 years.
A lot of the reports out there said that there was a piece of, like they found a hair at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of the, there's been several police chiefs since then. And the one of them confirmed that was not true. Okay. There was no, the only thing found at the scene that they could possibly use was that palm print. And I'm assuming it wasn't, I don't know this, but I'm assuming it wasn't John Van Cise's either, but that doesn't mean it could have been mine.
I don't think they could have convicted him with that because they actually had been seeing each other. So all of his lawyers got to argue is say that, oh yeah, that he touched, he probably put his hand on her car when she left the night before. I mean, that isn't, I don't think they obviously just don't have enough, but they have something that makes them suspect it's him because you're right. I have seen that now that you, that last name did not. Give me, but that case, her like Bob hair, you know, reminds
me. Yeah, oh my God.
Missy's hair was like that.
1995.
Yes. And I was like, where, like, she's just crazy that they have no leads, which I didn't know about that lead. I just knew that she was missing and she'd never been found.
Right.
You know? And there wasn't, nobody's ever been found. I mean, it's not that easy to get rid of a body. And especially if you're not like, if you're not, you know, good at, you know, doing that. I mean, that guy obviously.
It's like disappear without a trace.
Yeah.
Literally.
Like that guy, even the guy that suspected, I mean, I don't think he would just be like totally good at just randomly getting rid of bodies. And even if it was a random sex offender, I don't know if they're that good at it either.
So if she left her house, let's say she left her house at 3:30. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she gets, or whatever time, let's say 4 o'clock in the morning, even. She leaves at 4:00. And then somebody abducts her. Well, nobody called the police until 7:15. So somebody had a 3-hour jump on what was happening to get either out of town or wherever they're going to go. I mean, they had a pretty good jump on police before they even got to the scene.
That's true.
You know, hours later to even look at it. And there was literally nothing to go on.
All somebody would have to do.
Like poof.
It's just, he probably ran into her so hard it knocked her down and kind of knocked her silly. And then they're able to drag her off and put her in their car and take her away.
Just kind of what they were thinking, like they came behind her and just like surprise attacked her. So they must have done something.
If her key
was in the car.
But there had to be an impact. If her key was in the car, boom. And that would
just grab her behind. And maybe she just held onto the key.
Oh yeah, that's true. And then,
they dropped everything. They saw they had drag marks.
Man, I guess that's not abduction by aliens because it doesn't sound like it.
I think that could be
like a Travis Walton. I'll have to tell that story one day. He got abducted for but they brought him back after 3 days.
They did.
But I would much rather.
I would much rather
it be that than somebody, you know, took.
Well, I guess it gives you hope if somebody's taken by aliens, like they could just drop you back off. You
know? Well, they could, but it's been 27 years, maybe, you know.
June 27th was 27 years.
That's crazy. Since but, you know, it was probably obviously, you know, sexually motivated or, I mean.
Or jealous, like some sort of. Oh, and they did say that, like, when they went into her apartment, nothing was missing in her apartment. Nothing seemed off and seemed out of place. It just like she'd gotten out of bed and left, but her toilet seat was up.
Oh, that's always a sign that.
Yeah, because she lived alone. But the John Van Cise guy said that he had not been there. She came by his house to watch the video. I think John Van Cise is a lie. That's what I think.
Well, we know nothing happened the night before because her friend did talk to her.
Yeah, the last time anybody talked to her, well, the night before, the last time he talked to her was like at 8 something. She called a friend out of town. They could verify that.
And she was at home.
Yeah. And then...
What if he was at her house later?
But then the Amy Koontz talked to her at like 3:30 that
night. But what if he came to her house that night and spent the night and that's why the toilet seat was up and then they left?
He's just lying. He could just be lying all the way around. He could have been there whenever Amy Koontz called.
But why wouldn't he have done something to her in her apartment than outside of the apartment? Unless he just couldn't stand it that she was just like, you know what?
Maybe he came over the night before and she made him leave. Like, oh, this ain't working out. You got to go at like midnight.
Well, maybe she did that.
He just sat in the parking lot stewing until she left.
But he had to, because he had to have used the bathroom. But she probably went to the bathroom too.
Maybe
probably
two bathrooms and they didn't say.
It would be so.
I don't know if it was a one bedroom, one bath.
Or two bedroom.
Two bedroom, two bath. Yeah. I don't know.
That's good. That's a good question. I guess that's the only thing that made them think that was a little. Somebody had been there.
Somebody had gone.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was her, unless she was cleaning the toilet. I don't know.
She definitely made it out of her apartment at 4 o'clock in the morning with all her stuff.
Her hair dryer and all that was in the parking lot.
Yes, I remember that, reading about that now with her shoes or heels and everything. It is just like she vanished into thin air. It's very crazy.
It really is.
And there's not, it's not like they can do DNA tests. It's not like there's nothing to even do DNA test on. I mean, it's really, so frustrating for her family.
It's really bad. Like the people who do this, and sadly, I'm pretty sure her dad died when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's right. But her mom has passed away since and died without knowing what happened to her daughter.
It's just
really sad.
Usually there is some kind of trace of something. That literally is like, besides the, you know, looking like it was an attack or assault, it definitely is like she vanished into thin air.
And so this, the Find Jody podcast is out there and they have a whole website. And it is, I mean, it is good. It's all dedicated to finding anything else they can to find out. So it's two guys, I think, anchors started it. And you can donate there and it's to raise money. Oh, and also there was a kind of billboard, like a Find Jody billboard up and somebody defaced it. Like, I'm trying to think.
Her town?
Yes, it was in her town. And I'm trying to think what it said. Okay, so yeah, it was vandalized. And they wrote the words machine shed. They wrote the name of a retired investigator, because there have been multiple investigators on the case throughout the 27 years.
Yeah.
And machine shed that was spray painted
now.
Yeah, on the board. And after they did like a bunch of investigation, they had some surveillance video that showed somebody going up the thing and actually doing this purposefully, but they could never find out.
And they said
machine shed. And nobody knows what that means.
What did you say about the investigator?
And the investigator's name was spray painted on it.
And machine shed?
And machine shed. So they were like, is there like a, will they find evidence in some machine shed? Is there, I mean, I don't know.
Wow, that's.
Lots of weird, like.
Could just be a random.
So anyway, there's a lot of questions out there with not very many answers. But the findjody.com and their podcast is totally dedicated to continuing to look for her. So Jody was actually declared dead, I know, which is so sad, in 2001. So even though they never found a body, I guess there's a certain amount of time that goes by that you do that.
Well, that is.
So yeah, go check that out. Go check out the website. Listen to the podcast.
I want to see the Payne Lindsay thing on it. I'm going to go back and watch that.
Yeah, I want to watch it. Like, I've never watched it. I just listen to it. Like, if you can look it up and you can listen to the podcast, but there's actually a show because, I mean, I'd like to see some of the other episodes that Payne's on.
For sure. No, and I wanted to say that if y'all heard Peanut, I forgot to tell y'all that he is an old chihuahua of my daughter's rescue, and he's an old man that she rescued. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if y'all heard him snoring, sorry about that.
But he had a good time hanging out with us.
He has, and that let's definitely look more into Jody's.
Yes. If you have any information, you can always contact the findjody.com website. But yeah, go check it out.
And thanks for listening to us.
We'll be back next week
with a whole new episode, maybe a mystery story.